listening to Loving BDSM Podcast, episode 111. Hey everybody, Kayla Lortz here with the one, the only, the dude wearing a Santa hat. John Brownstone. Oh my goodness. You know there are new people listening. Don't scare them. We have to get like 20, 30 minutes into an episode before we scare somebody. That's like the rule. Unspoken, unwritten, but that's like the rule.
Damn.
I know. This week, we're showing dominance a little love and reminding everyone that there's more than one way to be a good, effective dominant. Welcome to the Loving BDSM Podcast. If this is your first time listening, glad to have you. If you're back for another week, welcome back. Loving BDSM is produced every Friday for your kinky pleasure and education, and show notes are found at lovingbdsm.net. Come back often and feel free to add the podcast to your favorite podcast app. And if you love what you hear, we'd love a good review wherever you're listening to us to help other kinksters find us. You can follow the show on Twitter at LovingBDSM or on FetLife at LovingBDSMPC or on Instagram at that handle I hate
so much.
Tell me how you really feel about it, baby
fucking
girl.
Fucking hate it. But if you are on Instagram and would like to hang out with us there, we are LovingDS and then the number one. LovingDS1, I fucking hate it. All links are in the show notes. So, got a couple of announcements. Okay, so we got into minute one before he scared the new people.
Okay. All right.
If you're new and you're still with us, you're one of our people. So, a couple of announcements. I'm actually going to attempt to make them short and sweet. Just a reminder that at the end of the end of the year, the Friday after Christmas and then the first Friday of 2018, we are on a break.
Hiatus, yeah.
I don't like hiatus.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I understand it, but it sounds like longer. It's just 2 weeks. It's okay. A 2 week vacation.
We're on holiday.
We sound British. We're on holiday. I like that.
holiday for the holidays.
Our Brit listeners just giggled at us. Well, maybe not the dominants. They don't tend to giggle. But I do love a good dominant who will giggle. You giggle, so that's okay. Anyway, the announcements. I've gotten so off track. Back to the announcements. So, yes, we are going to take a break at the end of the year. We probably won't blog. It depends on if I can keep myself away from it. We won't record episodes for a couple weeks, but we will be around in the community. So if you are a member of the Loving BDSM community at lovingbdsm.net, we will still be around there if anybody's chatting and hanging out at that point. I sort of expect it to kind of get slow as we get closer to the holidays. But I also know that if you are around your vanilla family and you are feeling way too vanilla, you're like, you know, vanilla bean vanilla at that point. Goodness. We would be the place to come and hang out safely because nobody needs to know what you're doing on your phone.
Right.
Or your laptop or whatever. You know what I do? I go to the bathroom with my phone and I hide for like 10 minutes.
What happens on your phone stays on your phone, hopefully.
One would hope.
Just don't give it to anybody.
Right. Or know who you can give it to.
Yes.
On our wedding day, we had one friend we could hand our phone to. Person we can hand our phone to.
I said, here, please take my phone. I know I can trust you and you won't be shocked at any pictures you see on here.
Or any tweets that come through. Anyway, so yes, if we can be a distraction from your vanilla life during the holidays, come join us at lovingbdsm.net in the community. You can sign up for free. We love it when you pay to sign up, but you can sign up for free. And then the other announcement is... So this episode goes live on December 8th. On December 9th, the very next day, is our monthly submissive meeting for the Kinky Fuckery members who identify in any way on the S side of the slash. Even if, whether you're a switch or a sometime sub or more of a bottom, doesn't matter. If you are a Kinky Fuckery member, you are welcome to go to the submissive meeting, 8 p.m. Eastern. If you're like, what? That's New York time zone. We are not in New York, but we are in the New York time zone.
Eastern time zone.
I know it's Eastern, but sometimes when you have to start looking through your options on a thing, it's easier to find a city.
No, I know.
That's how I used to do it. I was like, oh God, Eastern. I don't know. Ooh, New York. I know I'm in the same time zone as New York. And these are things you get to know about me as time goes by. I know. It is sad. We're recording late Thursday night before the episode goes live again. Because things have gotten hectic, so we might be a little loopy. I have been singing badly, but singing off and on all day.
Yes.
And also dancing. I gave myself a stomach ache. I don't know if that has anything to do with my singing or not. Probably, if you could hear my singing, your stomach would hurt too. He's nodding. Oh, thanks. I thought you were supposed to be my daddy who loves me and cherishes me.
You're getting a spanking later because of that singing.
Yay! Oh, God. I started just butchering Purple Rain, which if you love Prince, I'm so sorry. I totally butchered it. But even if I had been singing seriously, I would have butchered it. That's how my voice is. So, but now we're babbling and it's not the bonus section yet. Should we like get into an episode?
Yeah.
That's what we're here for. I said I would make the announcement short and I did. And then you let me ramble. So we only have you to blame, Daddy. I'm going to pay for that later, too.
Yes, you are.
I hope I can handle it.
I'd be very careful upsetting the man who makes canes and paddles. Oh, my.
True. That's true. Okay, so we're going to get into an episode now. How many times can I say it before we actually do it?
Come on.
Well, now, and this episode was inspired.
Okay.
Not necessarily by dominance. Not at first. He's trying to make me laugh. I will not tell you what he was just doing. It was actually inspired for me at first by a submissive who messaged and said that, you know, she was very concerned about her new DS relationship. Her partner didn't come across as very dominant to her. He wasn't really enthusiastic about what was going on and what she was asking for. And she said, you know, and the question ended up being sort of a, how do I make him be my dominant? And I had to come back with, you can't make anybody be your dominant. So I said, there's a lot of things going on here. It is very possible and maybe even likely that DS isn't for him. He's not a dominant. That's
true.
You know, that's a reality. I said, but it's also possible that he's not enthusiastic because he has this picture in his head of what he thinks a dominant is supposed to be. And he in no way fits that stereotypical definition. And so it's not working for him because he thinks he's supposed to behave a certain way and he doesn't want to behave that way. And so then he's just not that interested. So that was the first conversation that kind of got this going. And then between you and I think we've had two or three conversations with dominants who have kind of said the same thing of,
yeah,
am I really dominant? Because I don't want to be, you know, this way or that way. And it is usually truly the Tumblr stereotype or the Twitter stereotype of dominance,
yeah,
that people see or believe or internalize and then go, yeah, but ooh, that's not me. So
no.
After all these messages sort of all came, you know, they all came grouped together, felt like, we thought, we spent a lot of time talking about submissives, which is necessary when you can be literal prey to a predator. You got to spend some time talking to people. But we need to show some dominance, a little love, because I think that there's two sides to it. I think there's, of course, probably the more obvious of a newer dominant who, like I said, has this picture in their head of what they think dominance is.
Right.
And they don't fit it. So then in their mind, they're not dominant. And then I also think that more experienced dominants will get their own mental image in their head of who they are, who they have been for years with a partner. And then they have a different partner and don't recognize themselves. Does that make sense? I mean, yes, they know they're still dominant, but the things that worked with this other partner don't necessarily work.
Right.
It doesn't feel the same. They can be, I mean, you personally went through it and we have seen it happen with other people where they realize they have this other type of dominance in them and some people will immediately reject it. Like it can't possibly be valid. So it's not just something that affects newer dominance as well.
Just for example, look at the one person in our local community, he was always very stern.
Mm-hmm.
For lack of a better word, stalwart, very...
Stoic.
Stoic,
he was very serious.
Yes, very serious. Always very serious. And now with the submissive that he's with, he's like a new man. He's like a totally changed man. Very lighthearted, laughs and...
Oh, yeah. Jokes around.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure he has his serious moments. But,
I'm... Yeah.
And, you know, and I have to say, that was the other thing I was thinking of. And it's because of you know, our local community, every local community is different. And in our local community, when you go out to sort of the daytime functions, like the parties can be anybody from across the spectrum. But the people who are willing in our area, who are willing to go to a munch or a coffee time or a social event in a vanilla space, they tend to be older. I am usually one of the youngest in the room. Not always, and not even the youngest, but I bring the average age down a little bit. And they all fit, at least outwardly, which is almost meaningless, what you show to the world versus who you are on the inside, two different things. But the persona they present at these things is of this very stern, very disciplined, very serious, dominant. You don't really see them cutting up and joking and laughing. And I have no doubt that some of that is, that's exactly who they are. But my nosy side, which is really all of me. There's not a side of me that's nosy. All of me is nosy. I just have manners. Wonders is that a facade they put on in public because they think that's how they're supposed to present themselves. And do they ever question themselves when they find their style of dominance changing either from partner to partner or as time goes on? You know, people's needs change over time. So the way you behave as a dominant and the things you want as a dominant would certainly shift and change. I mean, we are not the same people at 20 that we are at 30, 40. I'm assuming 50. I hadn't gotten there yet. I haven't technically gotten to 40, but, you know, I'm closer to that than I used to be. So, yeah, I just, you know, it's not a massive, in-depth topic that takes 100 years to discuss. I don't think it'll make me ranty. I think this might be a calm, laid-back episode. It's possible. Why are you looking at me like that? He's looking at me with bemusement.
I'll believe it when we get to the end.
We shall see. I can't make any promises. I never know what'll actually set me off.
Right.
Drop an F-bomb, go off, tell the whole world to fuck off. I don't know what's going to happen. Neither do you.
Neither do I, unfortunately.
So we did write a blog post about it this week about, and it's funny, I love how I play with blog post titles, and I read way too much about these things, and then I'm like, oh, let's try this thing. And so I asked a direct question in the title, and online I got, like on Twitter, I got actual direct answers. They didn't read the post, but they answered the question. It's like, oh, that's not what I meant to do, but okay. But basically, I said, what kind of dominant do you want to be? And I purposefully did not touch on the stereotype, you know.
Yeah.
In the post, nobody was dressed in a three-piece suit. Nobody was dressed
while they're... Why not?
Well, when you bust out your three-piece suit every single day while I am naked and we walk around in black and white or sepia tones.
I'm dressed in a Santa hat.
I know. And your underwear. You are so sexy. I want you so much right now. You personify dominance to me. Actually, you grab my hair and you will. It won't matter what the fuck you're wearing. But, you know, when we were talking about the different ways of being a dominant, the hard part about any of those kinds of articles, when you start labeling the different possibilities, is technically I could still be writing 3 days later. I could still be writing.
True.
Because there are infinite possibilities. But I tried to go with sort of the ones that I heard most about. So I did include disciplinarian, you know, somebody who cares very much about the discipline of their submissive partner. But then I went with all the ones that I personally hear about. And it is very rare for a dominant to reach out to me. They tend to reach out to you more than anything. And part of it is I have been checking the Loving BDSM email more often than you have. So when I see it, I go ahead and answer it unless I just can't. And then I say, Daddy, can you handle this one, please? So I have been talking to more dominants, and they have been very worried about, well, I like to joke around and I like to be goofy and I like to be silly and I like to be really laid back. And, you know, one person says, I want to do all of these things. I want to set out my partner's clothes. I want to make their meal. I want to do those things. And so I sort of, from those communications, cobbled together some different ways of being.
Right.
But it is impossible to list all of the ways of being because they are infinite.
Absolutely. Because you know, you have your standard ways, And then you have blends.
And I think everybody is truly a blend.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody is, you know, you may, and in the article and in this discussion we're having here, this is not about your title. It is not about whether you are master or mistress or daddy or mommy or whatever. It is not about the thing you call yourself. It is about the way you interact with your partner and still have control.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever control means to you and whatever the power exchange means to you. I mean, because let's face it, in any DS relationship, the level of power a dominant is given and control that they are given is dependent upon the two people. So it could be a teeny tiny amount to completely micromanaging total power exchange. Every detail right. is managed by that dominant.
Total slave master, we're all, yeah.
Right. Absolutely. So it's a complete spectrum. But it's not about, it's not even about the specific things. The I was in a conversation with another dominant just today about tasks. Mm-hmm. And it's not even about the specific things you want your submissive to do. It's about the way you interact with your submissive. And my thinking is, however you interact with each other, that is consensual for both of you and makes you both happy. And that you have whatever kind of control you like best.
Yeah.
Then you are the dominant. If you have the control over something that your submissive has consented to give you, you are the dominant.
Correct.
It doesn't matter how it expresses itself or how you express that.
No, no, it doesn't. Absolutely not. It can express itself in many ways.
And I think that's the thing that needs to be talked about. When I was, the very first conversation that sort of brought this to mind, the submissive, you know, in my reply to that submissive, I said, well, it could be that your partner is a different type of dominant and doesn't know yet what kind of dominant they are. And she came back with, well, I know there's different types of submissives. And she, you know, named them slave right. and baby girl and little and all that. She's like, but are there different types of dominants? I'm like, Yeah, there are. And I don't think, and if they're out there getting labeled, I have just personally haven't seen it. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen ways of describing this.
Just alone in daddy doms, I could think of several different types of daddy doms. All right, you have your nurturing daddy dom. You have your caregiving daddy dom. You have your strict daddy dom.
Well, very true. Very true. I mean, there are some that I could...
It doesn't make them any less a daddy just because they're one or the other or some mix of them.
Exactly. And again, that's even gender neutral. So
yeah.
Mommies, which we talk very little about, and if I ever really get to have a conversation with a mommy, mm-hmm. that I think I would find fascinating because I wonder what the differences are when there are gender differences yeah. like that. Because I think of myself as an actual mother. I think, no. But we know how I'm wired, so that's okay.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think that would be fascinating. But yeah, it is in the caregiver role. I don't remember where I first saw it. I did not make this up, so I found it somewhere. Instead of saying daddy dom or even mommy dom, which nobody says mommy dom and they totally should, the term I'm trying to use and I've seen somebody, I can't remember where, use it as caregiver.
Mm-hmm.
And I think caregiver really does sum it up because then it's not even necessarily a familial type of domination where we say daddy or mommy. I was in another conversation. This week has been the week for conversations with Kinksters by email and FetLife and messages, which are fascinating, okay. but it's just, it's cyclical. It gets quiet and then there's a whole bunch. And this week there's been a whole bunch. So they said, you know, we have that kind of dynamic that, you know, they listen to the podcast. They're like, it sounds like you and John Brownstone and a daddy dom baby girl, but I'm not calling them daddy. And it's, you know, that's not going to work for me. And I didn't, hopefully they're hearing this episode because I feel like I'm adding to what I had said before. If you look at it instead of in terms of daddy dom, mommy, and those very specific titles and labels, and you go back to caregiver
mm-hmm.
and what it means to be a caregiver, you can be really nurturing. You can be really hands-on and do everything for the other person, especially if your little identifies really young, you know, and has mm-hmm. those really young tendencies. You can be really strict and really authoritarian and the real strict disciplinarian. And it's all a style of caregiving.
Right.
Regardless of whether you call it mommy, daddy, uncle, I don't know, but it could be anything. And that's a whole, that, you know, think about it. In caregiving, within caregiving, then you have all those different ways of being. Well, if you pull it out and you go, okay, well, what about the whole master-slave, master-mistress kind of thing? Well, I would imagine you have different layers to that too. I mean, there are a lot of people who identify that I have met, let's put it that way, mm-hmm. who identify as master. And most of them have been men, but not all of them, goodness knows. I met a very stern femdom that used to go to one of our munches, and I was intimidated by her from across the fucking room. And she did identify quite as mistress. That wasn't her title, but that was sort of her persona, how she identified. And they do tend to come off as very severe and very strict. But I have met several people who called themselves master, entered into master-slave relationships, dynamics, mm-hmm. and yet when you watch them, it was very gentle. It was very quiet. Sure. It wasn't, and I think that's the other thing. I think that there is this tendency to believe that if you were the dominant in the dynamic, then it's all about barked orders and really severe looks on your face and always serious, especially if you identify in the master-slave side mm-hmm. of things, because that's the stereotype. So right. when somebody finds themselves, you know, getting a little silly or joking around or, you know, being less severe, they kind of question themselves, am I really a master? Yeah. You don't have to be the like the master you see on Tumblr or Twitter, and God knows you probably shouldn't be. Quite frankly, please do not pattern your kink or your power exchange off of what you see online. I think that's just good life advice.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm doing a lot of talking for somebody who is the only dominant bone in my body is business related and has a pencil stuck behind each of her ears and is tapping away on a calculator or a keyboard. That's my dominant side. So that's not helpful here. But you personally have gone through it. I've used you as the example 10 million times. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I'm going to admit that my education, per se, came before Twitter, before Tumblr.
There was life before Twitter and Tumblr? What?
First dip in the water was back in the days of bulletin boards on the computer.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell anybody. You know,
IRC chat and such. And, you know, I used to go into the bulletin boards and be like, ooh, BDSM bulletin boards, you know. And I'd sit in there mostly. I lurked in those days.
Sure. I think that's safest when you're new anyway. Get probably. A feel for the place.
Yeah. And I would watch these doms, you know, type me and everything. And like, oh, there's no way I'm dominant. I'm not like them at all.
You mean they were demanding people bow down to them?
Yes.
Call them sir or ma'am?
Kneel before me.
I am your almighty dominant.
I am the great lord, yes.
Oh, God, those people make me gag.
Yeah. And I was like, no, that's not me. Oh my God, I'm not a dominant. When am I? I don't think I'm a
you had a crisis of identity, huh?
And I think that's quite common.
Oh, I agree with
you
that.
You know, even more so now with Twitter and Tumblr. So you know, yeah, it actually took me until I discovered our local community. Mm. Pretty much that I struck up the nerve to go to my first munch. That I started, oh, okay, that's not how they are in real life.
Well, and I think that is, I mean, if there's there are a million and one reasons to advocate for going out into the local community, going to a munch, which is a very safe vanilla location, because it. My first munch was after I'd been in the online BDSM community for a couple of years. I'd come across all different kinds of dominants and submissives, and I understood that there were different kinds. But then I went to an actual munch, and I sat down, and I heard a dominant person bitch about their boss, and then I heard somebody else talk about, like, their hobby or something, and I went, oh, They're just like normal people. And I mean, you know it intellectually, but to witness it, you go, okay, I get this. Because I was familiar and comfortable with you.
You mean they put their pants on the same way as I do, one leg at a time?
You don't wear pants. Oh. You cannot use yourself as an example anymore.
Okay.
But, you know, you and I have, thankfully, have such an easy relationship with one another, and we pretty much have from the beginning, that I recognize your dominance immediately because it's not in the words you necessarily say. Yeah, there are things you might say, but it's the tone. It's the expectation. Sometimes it's the look on your face.
Sometimes it's a raised eyebrow,
God, I hate it when it's a raised eyebrow. That's when I know I've done something wrong. Sometimes when I forget, it's nudging the coffee cup closer to me at breakfast. And, oh, shit, I'm supposed to get your coffee ready. You know, it doesn't require these big overt actions.
No.
And yet I think because most of us, at least in today's time frame, are used to what we see online, and they are snapshots of a moment, and they become the thing that's sort of in our brain's filing cabinet. Like, what's my picture of a dominant look like? Oh, well, a male dominant is this, and that's how they look, and that's how they behave. And, oh, a female dominant, well, she's covered head to toe in leather and latex, and, you know, very severe.
I mean, let's face it. Me, day to day, folks, 9 times out of 10, I'm in a pair of shorts.
That's very true.
Sometimes a t-shirt, very rarely.
Only if he has to leave the house.
Right. Are there times when I wear a suit? Yeah.
Oh, God, you're so sexy when you do. Oh,
you know,
God.
There are times we go to the club, and I will dress to the nines.
Mm-hmm.
Am I like that every day?
No.
No.
And, you know, and some people, they wear a suit to work, or they have to get dressed up. I mean, even if women, they have to get dressed up. So when they're at home and they're, you know, getting their kink on, that's not always the thing they want to wear or do or but I mean, and that's the whole point. Whoever you are, jeans and a sloppy t-shirt, gym shorts as you're wearing right now and no t-shirt, whatever, flip-flops, you know, baseball caps, whatever it is, however you are most comfortable and at your most relaxed, you are still dominant if you have the control in your relationship in a consensual manner. At whatever level of control and in whatever way you want to express it, the rest of it's the trappings, but that brings it back to why the local community can be so helpful, because instead of these snapshot moments you see online, even if it's, you know, a 30-second porn clip, it's still a very brief look and it's not realistic. When you get out among real people, you are face to face with the same exact kind of people that you sit at business meetings with, or you go to lunch with, or
sitting next to you in a coffee shop.
And you would have no idea until you realized you were at the coffee shop munch. And you know, I mean, that's the thing. Dominants are no less susceptible to worrying about whether we're doing this kink thing right. Submissives worry about it all the time. I have a lot of conversations with submissives about, I don't want to get it wrong, I don't want to disappoint, I don't want to. Dominants have the same exact thing. They might express it differently. They certainly don't always express it to a submissive, because then there is that whole, if I tell my submissive or any submissive that I am concerned or I'm worried or I'm uncertain, then I look weak.
Well, you know, here's another shocker. And it's funny because I came across somebody talking about this on Tumblr the other day. All right. You know, it's talked a lot about how submissives make mistakes. They don't complete a task. They, you know, don't do something. They act bratty. But you know what? For all you listening, better sit down for a moment, because I'm going to say it.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. We dominants, we're not infallible either.
Yeah.
We make mistakes.
And we've talked about that.
Yeah, we have. But that's all part of it. That's all part of it. You know, again, on Tumblr and Twitter, you get this persona of a person who's always large and in charge and
has the right answer every time.
Every time, and never makes a mistake.
Knows exactly what they want every time.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, and that is absolutely the it's a stereotype. It's not even a stereotype of a style. It's just a stereotype of what we think the ultimate dom is. We don't even care about how they express it, but they always know what they want. They always know how they want it.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you do, especially, yeah. I have found with you, especially as you have become more confident in yourself as a dominant. The longer we've been in our relationship,
right?
You on some things you will say to me, I need some time to think about that. We will talk about this in a day, in a week, whatever right. you ask for. And sometimes you don't even have to blink, you know.
I just...
Right.
There it is.
And I have met, in the past couple of years, other dominants like that who have done it so long, or they've been in this specific relationship long enough, that very rarely are they unsure of what they personally want. Now,
right.
that does not mean that they are automatically able to decide what they want for the relationship. Like you're this way, and some of my favorite doms are this way. They might know exactly what they want, but when they're thinking in terms of what's best for my submissive, what's best for this relationship, mm-hmm. they don't always know immediately. And I've seen you do it, and I've seen others do it. They go, I need some time to think. We will discuss this.
Right.
And that's the thing I would tell, especially this part really is more for new dominance. I think established, experienced dominants who have had successful relationships already know this. It is okay. I was telling a dominant this earlier today. It is okay to start really small, to start really slow.
Oh yeah.
And work your own way into it. Now, you can, and I would recommend as a submissive who wants to know everything, because nosy is in my bloodstream. It's okay to say we are starting slow because I need to get my footing too. But if it is important to you as part of your style to come off as being very controlled with yourself, you don't have to tell your submissive that. You can tell your submissive you're learning patience. And in your head, you're like, scrabble, 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 let me figure this out.
The thing about starting slow, okay, and we talk about that a lot, mm-hmm. okay?
I wish more people would start slow.
And we tell people to start slow. I mean, what that does... I mean, not only does it allow you to gain your footing in the relationship, but by starting slow, it allows you to figure out who you are.
Absolutely.
As a dominant.
Absolutely.
Okay? Because it's not even, as much as it is about what works, what you do and how it works for the submissive, it's how it works for you.
And
as well.
And ultimately, it's how it works for both of you.
Right.
Which is why we've said this a lot, and I think in more recent episodes, so we're going to keep saying it. Who you are with this partner
mm-hmm.
is not necessarily the same as who you will be with a different partner.
Correct.
I mean, you are you, but your dominance will express itself in different ways because you're... Dominance does not live in a bubble by itself, okay?
Right.
It is impacted by everything going on around you, including the other person on the other side of the slash who has their own wants and needs and desires and personality. And so, perfect world scenario, you come across as submissive and you go, huh, we fit. We fit differently than I fit with other people, mm-hmm. but we fit. And you
right.
both adjust to make that fit better.
Right. At the core, you're still a dominant.
Right.
Just how you express it may change.
Exactly. And I think that's, instead of worrying about how you appear to the outside world or how you measure up to whatever your own mental image is of a dominant, which comes from a lot of different places. Maybe you've watched a lot of porn. Maybe you've read a lot of erotica. Maybe you've spent way too much time on Tumblr and Twitter. For some people, I would like to say, please step away from the social media for a while. That image of what you think a dominant is meaningless. What matters is, do you have the control you want to have in your relationship? And are you expressing it in a way that fulfills you? Fuck what other people do or how they do it. If you are communicating with your partner and you have their consent and both of you are happy, satisfied, content, working towards it, interested, some positive emotion. If you are both feeling that way, then you're doing it right.
Yeah. You're not out there believe me, if you go out in your DS relationship to impress other people and make them see what they expect to see, per se, all right, you're not doing it right.
No, you're not doing it right.
The only one you need to impress is your submissive.
Absolutely. If you and your submissive are satisfied with what you're doing, nothing else matters.
No.
I don't care who has told you online or in the local lifestyle that, quote, real dominance don't, or the right, you know, a perfect dominant, or, you know, no. Bullshit. Have you communicated with your partner? Do you have their consent? Are you doing things that you consent to?
Mm-hmm.
And are both of you satisfied? Now, if one of you is not quite satisfied and one of you wants something different or more or less,
mm-hmm.
that's a conversation for the two of you to have and to settle amongst yourselves. And sometimes we talk about this with submissives because it is so very hard for a submissive, because when you are submissive to somebody, you are used to saying yes to that person. But it's still a conversation for dominance. You need to walk away from relationships that do not fulfill you and cannot be corrected or fixed or made better.
Right.
Staying in a shitty relationship because you're just equally afraid to be alone as a submissive out there who's afraid to be alone is not healthy for anybody. Because the time you spend with a person who's wrong for you is that much more time before you come across the person who may very well be right for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know in some ways it's from a submissive perspective, in some ways I think it's easier to be a dominant because as long as you're not an overbearing asshole, nobody's really going to question mm-hmm. about whether you're dominant or not. They're going to maybe say you're take charge or you're a leader, whatever. Or you may be the dominant who flies completely under the radar. And you only lead when you need to or when mm-hmm. you want to. But nobody's going to question it most of the time. But I know you also have it harder because you have to come across when you're in your dominant role with a partner or in a group of people who know you're dominant. You're supposed to come across as stronger than everybody else and able to handle more and able to take more on your shoulders and all this responsibility. Responsibility is important and it is good, but it's why I go back to the both sides of the slash have responsibilities. It's mm-hmm. never just on one person.
Right.
But I would imagine that that can be a load to bear. That is something to have to bear. You don't even want to break up with a bad relationship because what is it going to do to that person? I know that they will crumble. I know mm. that they will not be okay. By staying, even though I am miserable, I am preventing it. I am continuing to take care of them because that's what I do as a dominant. I can absolutely see dominants getting into toxic situations that are awful for them.
Yeah.
That means that it's that much harder to go find the next person. And I hesitate to give dating advice to dominants because I am not a dominant. So, like, when I'm talking to a submissive, I will say to a submissive,
right,
we've said this to one of our in-person local friends, my baby girlfriend.
Yeah.
Don't necessarily go look for somebody who has labeled themselves a kingster. What I like that she did was she was very open. She said, it's on my profile. I'm kinky. If you're interacting with me, I'm assuming you have read that. I did not hide it.
Yeah.
But like the person she's currently seeing, as far as he knows, he is not. He is open to the possibility, but he's not like going, yeah, let me dominate you. Right. So they're moving really slow and you know, it's again, nosy is in my DNA. So I'm like, tell me more about it. I don't know if the same advice works or should work for dominance. If go find yourself a vanilla partner and see if you can, you know, flip them over to our side. I mean, I don't know.
I'm sure it could. I don't see why not. I'm sure it does happen.
And I think I would say that I think that dominants have to be careful. If you're a man, you could come across as really super creepy.
Yeah.
And if you're a woman, like it or not, we always have to think about the danger right. we put ourselves in when we deal with
Yeah. But people. There again, and that brings up something I wanted to mention, you know, talking about our friend here. You know, in one of the books we read for Kinky Book Club.
Yes.
And I'm sorry, I can't remember.
Which one? Oh, gosh. Well, there's As Kinky yeah. As You Wanna Be.
But
and then there's The Ultimate Guide to Kink.
In one of the books, one of the people brought up a term, and I love that term, and I have been using that term, of lifelong learner.
Oh, yeah. I think that was in As Kinky As You Want to Okay. Be. I think it was.
And, you know, that's what it is. You know, we are all constantly learning.
We should be.
We should be. And that's what this lifestyle is about. It's about learning and it's about growth. You know, you are dominant, but maybe you don't think this is working. Well, there are other ways.
There are. Yeah, I think that probably sums it up. There are other ways with the same person or with a different person.
Yeah. So, you know, you're not cast into this mold. It's not, you have to be this to be that.
No, you don't.
No.
No. And I think both sides of the slash, dominance and submissives, get sucked up into that idea. I think we are all susceptible to mm-hmm. it. I think it can happen whether you've been in BDSM for 20 years, and right. it can happen if you just found it yesterday. You mm-hmm. know, you get a picture in your head of what that means, and you either make yourself be that way because you tell yourself, well, this is the right way to do it, and mm-hmm. I'm going to do it the right way. There are a lot of us types of people yeah. out there like that, and we want to, quote, follow the rules. Even when we're breaking the rules, mm-hmm. we find the model that seems to work, and we will follow it. And you're able to be a chameleon like that and go, oh, I can do that. That's what dominance looks like. Sure, I can do that. And then you realize at some point, oh, this doesn't feel right. It's like a shirt that's a little too tight or an itchy sweater. It's okay, mm-hmm. but it's not right. And then there are people who can't. They see it and they go, okay, well, I recognize that in my mind, this is what dominance must be. I can't make myself do it. I won't make myself do it. I try and I fail at it. And then they tell themselves, well, clearly I'm not really dominant. And both are wrong.
Yeah.
And it is a lifelong journey of finding
it is.
What works. And here's the thing that worked for you 5 years ago.
Isn't going to work. May not necessarily work today or tomorrow.
Not only are we not the same as when we first became truly an official couple, because then I was calling you sir, which
right.
I don't even like to do that to you jokingly anymore. Like that's just, I mean, I will, if we were in strict, like in a really serious, like protocol sense, of course I would say sir. Part of it's how I was raised. You know, the men you respect become sir, the women yeah. you respect become ma'am. We won't even talk about age differences. And when you call them sir and ma'am, it's not going to go there. But so even from a year ago, we've been daddy and baby girl way longer than a year, but from a oh, year yeah. ago, our dynamic has shifted and changed a little sure. bit. And so those things are in constant flux. Small changes most of the time.
Right.
But sometimes it's a big change. Sometimes you're walking around going, this sweater is just too tight. What is wrong? And then you take an internal look and you go, oh, I've been doing this one thing. And sometimes it is as simple as just this one thing that doesn't fit.
Right.
Whether it's the title, whether it's a task, whether it's I've asked my submissive to do this thing, but I want to do this thing, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is, you have to. And we've talked a lot about this over 111 episodes. You have to go inside and look around and dig around in yourself a little bit. Okay.
Right.
You got to get introspective and think about how you feel about things and try to, and this is a skill like any other, and it takes time and it takes practice, and you will not get it right the first time, but you got to make the attempt. You got to go inside and kind of look around and go, what doesn't feel right here?
Yeah.
What about this is wrong?
And I grant you, not everybody is a dominant.
No.
Not everyone is a submissive. But you know what? You took the step outside the box to explore kink. And to say that, oh, well, this is not who I am. Okay, it may not be who you are, but if it is because that particular style is not who you are, you know what? You need to take the step outside the box a little further.
Exactly. Exactly. Before you reject it completely as just not who you are, make sure that it's not that you're stuck on the stereotype of what you think it is.
Right.
That most likely is not who you are. if the idea of being the leader, being in charge, having control, having power, whatever that means to you, because that means something different to everybody.
Right.
Even some people have the lead from behind style. That is a legitimate type mm-hmm. of domination. You don't have to be the one up in the front saying, follow me and here's what we're going to do in order to have the control you want to have.
Correct.
I mean, the way in very simplified terms, on a very basic level, the way I kind of look at it is, are things going the way you want them to, John Brownstone? If the answer is yes, you have the control. And that's a very simplified way of looking at it, because a lot of factors go into...
I have coffee. You made it. It's good.
Ta-da! You're a dominant. You might be a coffee dom, but that would still make you a dominant.
Well, you know what? They're going to do that. That's a good point. And I never really found out what this is, but I have heard that there are cigar submissives.
I've heard of a cigar kind of... I'm not thinking of the right term. It's not a kink. It's about cigar service.
Yes.
Cigar service.
Cigar service.
Yes.
Yes.
I've heard of that.
Just like boot blacking.
Yeah.
Okay. You know... Yeah, come on. It's so many styles. A dominant can be a dominant and want the power exchange, but it doesn't mean you have to be a sadist.
Right.
Okay.
It doesn't even mean you have to have power over everything. It
right.
could literally just be your coffee and your cigar.
Yeah.
Ta-da!
You could have the power in the bedroom and not want any other part of the power exchange at all. You're a dominant.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Huh. Did we hit it all? Did we cover it all?
I don't know.
We never cover it all. It's impossible to cover it all. Let me look at my notes.
Okay, yeah, look at your notes.
I was like a grown-up.
You always have notes. You're good that way. That's why I keep you around. You take notes.
That's why you keep me around.
That's right.
That's why. Okay, I'm going to remember that.
Okay.
And say, well, wait, this, I'm not taking notes, so you don't need me for this.
Kick you to the curb.
Gotta go. I'm leaving the kids with you.
What?
We call that job security. You at least until the youngest is 18, you won't get rid of me. According to my notes. So
okay.
What then I like to do, especially when I feel like it's a topic that I have an opinion on, but I don't have like one of those strong ranting opinions where I drop 10 million F-bombs.
Thank you.
I know. It's a kinder, gentler sort of episode. So then it's up to you guys, if you're listening, if you have gone through that, if you have been in that position and realized that you almost rejected DS completely because you were trying to wear an itchy sweater. I think I like that analogy. You know, have you experienced that? How did you experience that? How did things change for you once you figured out what style works for you? What have been some of those stereotypes that held you back? Hell, do you completely disagree with this? I just don't see too many people disagreeing with us on this, but is there something we're not thinking of or that there's a perspective that we have forgotten? Share it with us. You can share it with us in the community, lovingbdsm.net. Mm-hmm. It's free to join the forums, and we do post the episode in the podcast episodes forum every week, so you can talk about it there. You can talk to us on FetLife. You can talk to us on Twitter at LovingBDSM. Mm-hmm. You can talk to us. You can email us. Just feel free to share your perspective, especially if you are a dominant who has been through it, because we spend a lot of time talking about and to submissives, and that will always sort of be my personal number one priority as a submissive. But I think that the dominants tend to get left to fend for themselves, and many of you are perfectly capable of it, but that doesn't mean you don't need support too.
Right.
So we definitely want to hear from you, good, bad, or otherwise. You can disagree with us as long as you're respectful. We don't, we can handle it. We're grown-ups.
Yes.
I will only pout where none of y'all can see me. and I will only cry where none of you can see me. So it is fine. Reach out to us in whichever way works for you. We are there. We would love to see you in the community. I know at the holidays, that kind of stuff takes a backseat, but we would love to see you over there. And we are going to have a bonus section because we had a shit ton of mail.
Yeah, we did.
And other stuff going on.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah.
That's it?
I guess that's it.
We good?
Well, vaguely.
Okay. Well.
Yay.
Ready?
I'm never ready.
I...
I could just leave this mic on and just do like a live stream talk and let people hear me bitch and moan and scratch my butt.
Well, they'd probably like to hear you moan, depending on what the...
Depends on the moan.
Moan, yeah.
It depends on their own kinks. I know.
Anyway, okay. These people probably want to get about their business.
Yeah, or they're waiting desperately for us to start the damn bonus section.
That's true, too.
We do have those fans.
Yeah.
And we love them.
Yes,
we love our crickets.
All right. So
okay,
then
we're
going
to talk
about
crickets. Okay.
All right. Keep it kinky, y'all.
We'll see you next week. Daddy, please.
Don't you
Baby girl. The crickets. Think of the crickets.
I do.
They're waiting. They love you. They think you're such a nice daddy.
I'm a grumpy polar bear.
Who got his own advent calendar. I got shit to tell them, and that's one of them. May I please?
Go ahead.
Thank
baby
you.
Girl.
Yes. Pixie Heart, I know that you... y'all were concerned that the mail had not arrived. The mail has arrived,
yeah.
And we have a card with a polar bear on it. It is from Pixie and Little Bear, and it is a little advent calendar. it says, not sure if you have advent calendars in the States. We do.
We do.
But we wanted you to have this for a grumpy polar bear. And it's a very sweet and cute polar bear. And I did not take a picture because I grabbed the mail, threw it down in our bedroom, and ran right back to work after I had checked the mail. So I haven't taken a picture of it. But yes, we did get a shit ton of mail. Yeah. And that was
And it's hard to be grumpy with a cute little polar bear like that.
Yeah, so cute. I just want to snuggle him. I need a stuffy that looks like that. But I need so many stuffies.
Yeah, you do.
When I grow up, if I have an office, because I do not, I have the kitchen table right now. When I grow up, if I have an office, I will have a section that has the precious, adorable stuffies that make me happy. That was part of what I will have. There will be so much purple on that side of my office, because I know you and I will share an office, but
right.
Still, there will be so much purple on my side. And it will be so cute. Oh, it will be so fucking cute. It will be so cute.
Okay, on with the postcards.
I know, I'm dreaming about an office I don't have. I might be 50 before I get an office, but it'll be okay. So this next one is a card of a beautiful picture of, I hope I say this right, Siletz Bay in Lincoln City, Oregon. It is beautiful.
Beautiful,
it looks
yeah.
like sunset.
Yeah.
Okay. And it is from, her handle is L-I-L, little, and I think that's D-C, or D-O, I think it's D-C.
I think it's D-C.
I know. I recognize it, but I'm having that moment. My brain's going, where? But she is from, am I going to say this one wrong, too? Tigard, Oregon? Tigard? Tigard? I'm so Southern, I don't know. I can't say all kinds of things. Please correct me, and so I can get this right. But she sent it... sent us this picture, and since this is just one of the many beautiful places in on the Oregon coast, and I can tell it is gorgeous.
Yeah.
And they were listening to our show on the drive and decided to drop us a line. They said, we love you too. And so thank you again. I really do need to take a picture of this, at least for Instagram, because that's beautiful. And then Mel from Australia, we got a couple of postcards from Mel, and she listened to us on a 6-hour drive to have dinner with friends. I am both in awe and humbled that you would listen to my voice for 6 hours. John Brownstone doesn't want to listen to my voice for 6 hours. and that Mel's behind on some of the episodes, but did go and make sure to listen to the wedding episode and then our origin story. So thank you, Mel. And if I did send out postcards. I don't know how long it takes a postcard to get to Australia. And if you haven't gotten them yet, I did send them.
They're on the way.
And these postcards, it's the Southern Cross, which that looks like the sky.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. And then the other one was, it's the Australia Telescope. And that's really cool.
Yeah, Southern Cross is a, I'm not sure if it's a constellation, but it's a series of stars. And
it's the smallest constellation in the sky. The Southern Cross is only visible from the southern hemisphere and tropics. It lies... I'm reading the back of the postcard, y'all. I didn't just become brilliant, I swear. It lies between the pointers and a red gas cloud known as the I'm not going to say that because I'll fuck it up. And just below the cross is a dark cloud of gas called the coal sack. I could totally say something. It's gorgeous.
Okay. And it's also a song by Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Of course it is. Crosby, Stills, and Nash. Okay, so we got two postcards from somebody who has sent us postcards before. His handle is Broken Bat.
Ah, yes. Okay.
I recognized his handwriting the moment I saw it. The one, both are from Texas because he's sending them to us from Texas, but one is Harbor Bridge in Corpus Christi, Texas, and the other one's just a nice Texas postcard.
Mm-hmm.
So he got stuck with Harvey.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, I know. And we've got two cards, and the first one was written before Harvey hit, and then he had the second one, and they went out together. But, you know, when Harvey hit Texas, there is no mail for a while. You could imagine right?
Yeah, yeah.
But he did say that the postcards I had sent back to them in response on the batch before the last batch I just sent were, when he finally got mail again, our postcards were there.
Oh, cool.
I know. So I like that. So I'm glad we could. He says, thank you for putting a smile on my face when I needed it. I'm glad we could do that for you because I have seen the aftermaths of hurricanes before. I have never seen, witnessed, or lived through anything like what it must have been like post Harvey. I cannot imagine. I'm a Florida girl who's been through a lot of hurricanes, and I have no comprehension of what that must have been like. And he asked a question we've talked about before about how I don't wear underwear. Or very rarely wear panties.
Right.
It says, do I ever get exposed by accident or on purpose from the lack of underwear? And is it a turn on, turn off, or don't care type of thing? And I will say I am actually very concerned about getting exposed. If I think I will, depending on what I'm wearing, I will go and ask for panties.
Yes.
There have been times we've gone out, though, like little date kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, no, you're not wearing them. And,
right.
And the idea that I could be exposed as a fantasy, yes, that's a turn on. The reality, oh no, I would be mortified. It would be awful. I would wear clothing from head to toe for a long time after that. I am an exhibitionist on my terms in a place where I feel safe and the setting feels controlled. So in the BDSM dungeon, walk around naked.
Mm.
Not anytime right now, but I have. out in public where I don't feel like I have any control over that, and I don't feel safe and protected necessarily, then the fantasy of it happening is a turn on. If the reality were to ever happen, it has not happened yet. I have come close. I have been mortified when I've come close. But if the reality were to occur, no, it would not be a turn on at all. So yeah, I'm going to need to take a picture of the front of all of this mail.
Yeah.
Lovely, lovely mail that we got and pop it on Instagram. And we did get two shipments from two companies. One is called the Love Mop.
Yeah.
So there's this new thing, and it's not like brand new, just happened yesterday, but it's new to me. It's a new concept of companies that are selling cloths to help you clean up post-sex. And I am fascinated by these things because we know I'm a squirty girl.
Yeah.
And so if I could have something that cleaned me up and even kept everything from getting soaked, that would be awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious. Our first one to try is the Love Mop. And then cool. We have some sex toys from a company that reached out. They are called TOO2Timid.com.
Mm.
They're a sex toy shop that sells from all different kinds of manufacturers and makers of sex toys. So it's not like they make sex toys, but they sell all kinds. And they sent me like two or three. And I've told everybody who is sending me stuff, because I've got other things coming too, I ain't doing no damn reviews over Christmas. I might try the toy to have the review for the first of the year, but I am not killing myself on reviews. I did that last Christmas. I did 8 reviews in 2 weeks and said, I am never fucking doing this shit again. but I also...
I remember that.
Yeah, I know. Oh. I was like, I have another dildo to play with. And you were like, I do not care about your purple
dildo.
Find
someone else to help.
I did get another thing, and I want it to be a video review because it's not...
Oh, yeah.
It's not something I think that would make for good reading, but it is a BDSM diary journal
yeah.
that is a adorable on the outside from Mona Darling.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's got some other things that are coming out, I think, early next year. I think I'm on her list to review those as well. But this is a really cute little journal that is meant for, it's definitely geared towards women. But it's whether you're dom or submissive. Mm-hmm. So I think I'm going to do like a quickie little video of it, because there's not a lot to say about a journal. And I don't journal about those things. If I have something to think about or say about BDSM, submission, DS, mm-hmm. or kink, I will probably blog about it, or I will spill my guts on this show. I personally don't journal about those things. I journal about other things. Because if I'm writing it, I mean for somebody to see it. So why am I journaling it? That's just how I handle that kind of stuff. But it is precious. And I did want to get my hands on it, because if it could be a good resource for other people who do journal, then I wanted to know about it so I could tell people about it. So I might do a video.
Cool.
I say that, but we got a lot of shit going on.
We do.
And ain't none of it kinky.
No. No. I've just been...
working.
Nose deep in wood shavings.
Literally, I think you keep sneezing them out.
I know. It's been a crazy but a good winter season.
I know, which means you got to top it next year. No, that's the rule.
Right?
I know.
But no, it's been good. I've been just this week I started on making Christmas presents for family.
I know, because we don't buy them anymore. We make them. If you're a kid, we'll buy you some. But if you are not a kid, it's wood. It is made of wood every year now.
Yep.
But the challenges every year has to be something different.
Something different.
We don't give them the same thing every year.
Right.
Yeah. So this year it's bigger than they have been in the past.
Yeah.
Which next year we better have some damn money so we can buy something. I don't know what you would make.
Get some bigger wood.
I'm not sure what you... Oh my God. He just cracked himself up, y'all. He made a wood joke and cracked himself up. This is what I live with now.
Well, you know, talk about styles of dominance. You know, one of the things she has to put up with is my puns. That's one of her tasks.
Well, I have to tell you, we sat at the dinner table tonight. It's Thursday.
Right.
And we sat at the dinner table tonight and did literally a round of puns, and it is all your fault.
Thank you.
So it started out with, we were talking about the youngest STEM. STEM class.
Yeah.
And then he made a pun.
I said that, what was it? STEM. In STEM class, they expect you to go out on a limb.
Oh, God. And then the 12-year-old went, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it was basically, I'm going to need you to leave that alone.
Yeah.
And then I said, well, we need to get to the root of the problem. And the 8-year-old is looking at us like, what have you people done to my conversation? I was just trying to tell you about my day in school. And he was a little horrified and yet also kind of amused.
Right.
Right. So you have done that to us. You have turned us into those people.
Uh-huh.
We are those people now.
Yeah.
Now, the cool thing is the kids can recognize a pun now. When a couple years ago, part of it was their age. You know, you don't understand how words can mean the same thing or mean something different and sound the same and all these different things. But they very easily recognize puns now. I blame that on you. I totally blame that on you.
You're welcome.
So you are spending hours. Like, you're like, oh, I was only going to work until like 11 in the shop.
Yeah.
2 o'clock rolls around. He's like, oh, yeah, I forgot to eat lunch. And then I am getting us ready for Eroticon. That is in March. Oh, that's the other news. So at Eroticon, I've got a session where I'm speaking about how to make money from blogging without losing your soul. It's like the one time I came up with a catchy title in my whole life.
You soulless bitch.
Hey, some people, they will say, oh, I can't take money from my blog. That's awful. And that's cool if that's how people, that's how they believe for their blog. But there's a way you can do it and still, you know, be a nice human being. You make less money, but you do make money. But then I had proposed an idea to do a panel on podcasts.
Right.
Partly because we knew some podcasters who had considered going to Eroticon, and then they said, yeah, but there's not really anything there for us. And I was like, well, let's change that. and so I proposed it, and it got selected, and then it was going to be me and a couple other people. It was going to be Andrew and Pixie from Kinkcraft.
Right.
Great podcast. They're not on an official hiatus, but they're in their busy selling season, right. So fewer episodes right now, so which is a good time to listen to the back catalog. They've got some good episodes. So Molly Moore, who's one of the organizers of Eroticon, she reached out to me and she said, would it be okay? Would John Brownstone be willing to sit on this panel? Y'all, I didn't ask him. I said yes.
He was voluntold.
He was totally voluntold. My Big D persona came out. I'm like, yes, he's happy to be there. And then I ran and told him and said, guess what? I voluntold
and
you.
And I need a picture and a bio.
I know. And then I did not like his bio. If I had known that was his bio, I would have... Where he had originally sent that bio, I would have sent something else. So then I said, I'm going to write you a new bio. He goes, okay. So I wrote it in the way that you would imagine Kayla Lord's baby girl extraordinaire would write her daddy's bio. I haven't checked the Eroticon site yet to see if it's posted. Oh, he's going to go into his browser now while I'm talking.
Yes.
But I essentially said... John Brownstone doesn't like to write his own bios. That's thank goodness he has a submissive baby girl wife for him. And then you could tell, 2018 speakers. I don't know if they've posted it yet. But yeah.
Oh, yes, there it is.
So here we go. I'm going to read it to y'all. John Brownstone hates writing about himself, but thankfully he's married to his submissive baby girl, Kayla Lords, who he tasked with doing it for him, and she consented. While he's often known as Southern Sir in the kink community and online, you can call him John. He blogs infrequently over at southernsirsplace.com and podcasts weekly for Loving BDSM and, coming soon, Masturbation Monday. When he's not helping to make the Loving BDSM community great, creating new content for the projects he works on with Kayla, or helping new kinksters navigate the world of BDSM, he's in his workshop making wooden paddles, Delrin canes with beautiful hand-turned wood handles, and plenty of other non-kinky items. He doesn't necessarily consider himself a writer or podcaster, but finds himself in new and unusual places, like speaking at Eroticon, because at some point Kayla has said,
I have an idea.
Coffee is his love language, and being ridiculously adorable with Kayla Lords is one of his superpowers. And also, when this was read to him, he laughed and said, it's not how I might have described myself, but it's all true. If that's not the most accurate bio somebody else could write about you, I don't know what is.
Pretty much.
I mean, if anybody was going to write John Brownstone's bio, most of that would be in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's all true.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, I felt really good about it. It's very irreverent. I know it's very... Now, let's contrast this with the one I wrote for myself. And this is why I should either not be allowed to write bios for other people, or I should not be allowed to write them about myself. Kayla Lords is a freelance writer, sex blogger, podcaster, and kinky woman living and loving the Florida life. Her site, KaylaLords.com, is where she overshares about the kinky fuckery she tries and the noise in her head. She also hosts Masturbation Monday, a weekly blogging meme to encourage writers and bloggers to share their sexy stories and entice readers to touch themselves as often as possible. Kayla is half of the Loving BDSM podcast and community, which she produces and hosts with her longtime kinky partner and daddy dom, John Brownstone. Together, they talk about the less sexy but extremely important part of BDSM and DS relationships: communication, trust, honesty, and making a relationship work in both good and bad times. Kayla Lords is passionate about helping other writers and bloggers get better at earning the money they deserve to be paid and building a loyal audience. She's also a mom to two boys and one dog. Wow. No, that does say to two boys and one dog, not to two dogs and one boy. I'm officially tired. But contrast that. Those are completely different.
Very much so. Yes.
And I wrote the poem. I feel like somebody else should write mine because yours is way better. Everybody else sounds really, really professional. And that was the other thing. I went to him and said, this is the bio I've written for you and I love it, but will it make you feel awful to know that it's out there? And this is what I love about you. You do not take yourself so fucking seriously. You're like, nah, that's me. Go for it. And then my friends, Molly Moore and Michael, fucking published it. Didn't blink. Didn't go, you sure this is what you want? They did move me up, though, to put me next to you on the speaker list, because it only does make sense if we're next to one another on the speaker list.
So, yeah.
Because then they'd have to scroll and go, who's this Kayla Lords chick? What? Oh, there she is. Yes, that was your bio that I wrote for you. And I loved writing that for you. I loved writing that bio for you. But I didn't want you to be embarrassed or feel less than, because you already don't think that you are a creator or a creative person outside of your wood shop. You do not consider yourself a podcaster, but what the fuck are we doing right now? You don't consider yourself a writer, and yet before I met you, you had a blog. So a lapsed writer, maybe, well, but a writer still.
I have a theory about that, but...
Okay.
Well, back at that time, I was first discovering kink. I was also in a period of angst and even mild depression.
Oh, sure. I agree.
And writing helped me get a lot of that out of my head.
Here's the deal. Did you do the actual physical act of writing, even if it was in typing form? Were you writing?
Yes.
Then you were, by definition... a writer.
Yeah, but see, now I've taken on a different role.
Which is?
Your daddy. That's a full freaking time job in and of itself.
Damn straight, and there ain't no overtime pay. Holidays or vacations, no benefits.
You're enough to keep three daddies on their toes.
Yeah, those other two daddies couldn't handle me. I'd break those daddies. And I just had a fantasy about three daddies right in my head for like 2 seconds. Whole scene played out right there. I think that's the note we should leave it on.
Yes.
Well, for our kinky friends who are laughing their ass off, I had that 2 second fantasy of three daddies. They were all burly. They were all big old men with broad shoulders. I clearly have a type now.
They all have beards.
Yes. Yes, they did. They did not all look like you, but yes, they did. Okay, they looked a little bit like you. Because one of them was you, and then it was two other daddies. Okay. So I also read a blog post for Masturbation Monday this week. Was it this week? I think it was. And it was a story about somebody overheard two women in the fitting room at a
yes
department store, and they were getting their freak on, and one was clearly big D or little D dominant, I don't know, I don't care, one of them clearly was, and she was like holding her girlfriend up against the wall and like fingering her and getting her off, and I'm reading it thinking, I need a dominant girlfriend, that's what I need. And also to go shopping more often. Those are the two things. So yeah, clear three daddies and a dominant girlfriend. Where I am the submissive and nobody is submissive to me. Yes. Yes, I'm here for that. Yes. Yes.
Yeah, that sounds like you.
Yeah. And all four of y'all would be very exhausted. Because yeah. Keeping up with me, full-time fucking job, no benefits.
Ain't that the truth?
Well, there's a benefit. Kinky fuckery.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
It's always a benefit.
It's always a benefit. And I'm hilarious until I'm not.
You said it, not
me. I know.
Me.
Wow. Truth in advertising.
Yep.
Okay. So all I think that's where to leave it. Yeah.
Let's
and a dominant girlfriend. Yeah. Yeah.
You're good with that?
Yeah.
That's your wish list?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You heard it. There's a kinky wish list.
Oh my gosh. I can't believe I said that out loud. I will... I will not be sleeping now tonight knowing that this episode goes live in 2 hours and somebody will hear me say that. Okay.
All right.
We're good, vaguely.
All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate you all, each and every one.
We love you. We'll see you next week. Yes, we will still see you next week. And bye.
Bye.
Bye.